Oh, me. Malachi chapter number 3. Whew. How am I going to come from that to Malachi? Amen. But this, to me, this one is not the rough one. I don't know why. This one seems to be what I thought was going to be. You know how you see things, you say, boy, that's going to be tough. I don't think that's a tough one at all. I told my wife the other day, I said, man, if they think Sunday night was rough, wait till we get to Sunday morning on marriage. Amen. And, boy, God wants us to be right. Amen. All he wants is a peculiar people. That's all he wants. He wants some people that are different. Amen. That love him and show that love to each other and show that to the world. God just wants to show us off. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but that's what he's wanting to do. So if you will, we'll look at it with me in Malachi chapter number 3 today. Let's all stand reverence to the Word of God. I want to read just 6 verses here. God's last words for 500 years. Here's what he says. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and the Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, the only reason that you're not gone is because I've never changed. God chose a peculiar people out and loved them. He said, the only reason you're not gone and consumed is because I don't change. Amen. I want to preach tonight on who shall stand. Out of verse number 2, who shall stand? Who shall stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be in the house of God. Lord, I pray anoint us for the hour. And Lord, I'm glad to be here tonight. Lord, I'm glad what you've done for me today already. And Lord, the encouragement I've already received. Lord, I just thank you for your word tonight. And I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for reaching down and saving an old sinner like me. Lord, I thank you for passing by my way for encouragement, for a breath, Lord, that you put on us. Lord, when we're receptive to your word, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help your folks tonight, your church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Verse number 2 says, who shall stand when he appeareth? Who shall stand when he appeareth? There are some things about this chapter that, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, they've heard it. Ms. Freeman has told me she's heard somebody preach on it before and said it was rough, preacher. And I see where that could be. I wouldn't throw rocks at anybody that had preached it rough. There's sometimes we need it rough. Amen. But as I began to study on it, Lord began to show me some things about it, and maybe just the insight that God saw on me and want to show me about this thing. Doesn't mean it's different. Just sometimes somebody looks at the front of the whale and somebody looks at the back of the whale. It's all the whale. Amen. It's still the same whale. Still the water's going to come out of it. So look at it with me tonight. First of all, I want to introduce you to who is coming. Now remember, this is 400 years before the birth of Christ, before John the Baptist. 400 to 424, there's some debate about that, about when the exact time, 400 to 424 years. And in that time, John the Baptist is going to come. Now, this talks about him right off the bat. Now, verse 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And so, you know, if this was quoted 400, about 400 years, 6 months, amen, God begins to talk about John the Baptist coming. Now, John the Baptist was prophesied in the book of, not only here in Malachi, but the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way, Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so, there's the prophecy of him. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So there's not a debate whether or not John was the messenger, the forerunner of Christ. He was. I mean, it prophesies and point blank tells us that that's who he's talking about. And so John was that one that came and one that was sent. But he's the forerunner of Christ. And of course, John himself said, he said, I'm not worthy to even reach down and unlatch his shoes. Not even worthy to touch his shoes. Much less be anybody would say that I'm John. I'm the Lord. I'm not him. But Jesus felt a lot about John too. He said he was more than a prophet. John was a prophet. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets beside Jesus himself who prophesied in his teachings. But he was the last one, but also he was more than a prophet. John was a preacher. And John was that unusual role that came from a man from the Old Testament, really. He's in the Old Testament, and bringing in the New Testament, he is both a prophet and a preacher. Amen. That's what got him in trouble. It wasn't prophesying what got him in trouble. It was preaching what got John in trouble. Amen. John lost his head over preaching, not over prophesying. Amen. He was telling it right. Amen. And the whole Herod didn't like that. Now, so we see about John. And then verse number 1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Now, in verse number 2, we see not John the Baptist being spoke of, but Jesus the Messiah. And here he coming in. The Bible talks about his first coming to earth. Now this talks about his birth and where he's going to be brought into that temple, and he's going to come into the temple. All of a sudden they're going to look around and there's that 12-year-old sitting there. And he's going to start to ask them questions and answer their questions. And then he's going to come back 21 years later, and he's going to walk in the temple and he's going to cleanse that temple, and he's going to throw out the money changers, and he's going to set things right. And he began to do those things at the first coming of Christ. And then the Bible says in verse number 1, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And I believe that is Malachi gives us the first coming and the second coming of the Lord himself. I believe that. Verse number 2 says, who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? Now, Brother Ty, I believe without a doubt that in verse number 1 we see the coming of the Lord. The first coming, I believe we see the second coming. And I believe, now you don't have to believe this, but the very fact that verse number 2 says, and who shall stand when he appeareth, I believe that's meeting in the air. Amen. I believe he's going to appear. This same Jesus is going to come in like manner. We're going to see him, and we need to be standing when he appeareth. For he is the refiner's fire, and like a fuller's soap. Now, you can debate that, and I'm not here to debate it. If you don't think it's that way, that's okay. Amen. My brother said, if you don't believe it, that's all right. Miss the blessing, go on. But I believe he's coming back. Amen. I'm going to see him just like he came. Amen. Just like he went, I'm going to see him come again. And he's going to appear. But he's not coming to the earth in the rapture. That's not the second coming of Christ. You hear what I'm saying? The rapture's not the second coming of Christ. No, the coming has to be when he puts his feet down. And he's going to put his foot down, amen, the second time. But the second time he's not coming as a lamb, amen. He's coming as a king, amen. Second time he's not coming as a savior, he's coming as a sovereign. He's going to come again that way, amen. But the question is asked in verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. Now he uses two things to describe how the Lord is when he comes. And it's not talking, you know, he'll cleanse the second time that way, but he also cleansed the first time that way. And he's still cleansing because of that first time. He is still like a refiner's fire, and he's still like a fuller's soap. And I thought that was an amazing statement. And there's two things about this tonight. Number one, we see the process of why he's coming. We see the process of why Christ came. Number one, it says he's like a refiner's fire. Now, refiner's fire is a heat process. And all it is when he wants to separate the good things from the bad, the dross from the silver, the dross from the gold. He wants to take the bad out and keep the good. That's the whole point of it, is to get rid of the bad and keep the good. All right, you see what I'm saying? So the Bible says in Psalms 119, it says, thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross, therefore I love thy testimonies. And it says all the wicked, all wickedness and all the wicked are like dross. And then Proverbs 25:4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. And so he takes away the dross away that he might have good silver, that he might have something good for the refiner. Now here's what he's saying. I want to get all the bad stuff out so I can get the good stuff so I can make a good vessel. Amen. I want to get that old bad stuff out of your life so I can get you to the good stuff so I can make something with you. Amen. And that's what God does when he reaches down and takes old wretched sinner and pulls him up out of that mire. Amen. He pulls him up out of that mire and he puts them under the heat of conviction, and God begins to work on them and get them under conviction. And when all of a sudden they want to separate from that and they said, Lord, I want you to be my savior. And that dross of that condemnation drops away, and God takes that old silver and says, all right, now I have a vessel of honor that I can take something and I can begin to mold it and I can be able to make it. But you know what? Sometimes it takes more than one refining. Now, I'm not talking about getting saved again. I'm just talking about this. When I got saved, I don't know about you, but God's still working on me. Sometimes God has to put me back in the fire again, has to heat it up again, and has to let that dross come up again, has to get that stuff else come off the top, amen, and then pour out a better vessel. You say, why am I going through so many troubles? Hey, you ever thought about this, that God's just trying to make a better vessel out of you? Hey, man, God just, hey, he's still working on you to make you something special. Hey, amen. He's working to make something special out of you. He didn't throw you aside. Amen. He said, you know what? I believe they're pretty. Listen, I'm glad they come to me, but I think I'll put them in the fire again. I think I'll melt them again. I think I'll work that dross off them again. I'll make them a better vessel. Amen. Hey, you don't have to get bitter at God because he's working on you. He's just trying to make you come out like silver. Amen. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I'm saying God just puts you in the fire to get the dross out, to get you where you want you to be, to work on you, to make you something he can be proud of. Amen. Amen. God don't make plastic trophies. Amen. I said all trophies this morning, all trophies are plastic and hollow, but when God makes a trophy, amen, he wants it something of value, and he can put it out in front of everybody, and it's going to go to fall apart every time some little problem comes down the road, but it's going to stand up and go on strong for you, amen. Hey, thank God he don't cast us aside. I'm glad that God's not satisfied with something dull in our lives. He wants us to come out shining like that tonight. Y'all understand what I'm saying tonight? Hey, I'm glad that God cares me enough to put me through the fire to make me better than who I am. Amen. There's a heat process that he comes for, but also there's a hand process. The Bible says this. He said, for he's like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap, like fuller's soap. Now fuller's soap, to understand it, it is an Old Testament process. Isaiah 7:3 says, then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sherezab, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And so there was actually a whole field that was given to the fullers. A whole field that was called the fuller's field. And the reason it was, I'll tell you here in a minute. Hold on a minute. I'll hang on this in just a minute. I'll build it to it. Amen. Boy, I tell you, if you've been preaching mean, it's good to preach sweet a little bit. Amen. Hey, look, if y'all don't get nothing out of it, let me get in the water in a little bit. Amen. The Bible says also in the New Testament, Mark chapter 9, verse 3, when he was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. The Bible says when he appeared in that Mount of Transfiguration, said he is so white, said no fuller on earth has ever done anything like that. He's never been as white as he was. Now notice what it said. Isn't it good how it placed that? It wasn't an accident. There are no accidents in God's word. He said no fuller on earth. Amen. What that tells me, there's a lot of people can work on you and then try to wash you, But they'll never get you as white as Jesus can get you. Amen. Hey, and they never can compare you. Hey, you can't compare your whiteness with each other. Hey, they that measure themselves by themselves are not wise. Amen. Well, I'm pretty clean. I'm pretty white. Measure yourself against Jesus. Amen. He's the one you set up and say, lean it up. Not white enough yet. Amen. Need some more work. Need some more hand work. They'd take that old soap, that old Fuller soap. Most of it had like a sulfur or lime in it. And they'd get down there and they'd begin to scrub on that old woolen cloth. And they'd rub it in the pool. And they'd find a spot. And they'd rub on that soap. And they'd just rub that soap in real good. Just get their hands all in there and work it real good. Amen. Work that spot out. And they'd take it down to that water. And they'd wash in that water. And they'd keep doing it till after a while they'd come out the last time. And that place where that spot was looked like every place else around it. And started looking white like it did. When they got rid of that one, Brother Freeman, they'd take it over to another. They'd find another spot. And they'd hand wash that thing, hand work that thing, hand work that thing until they got that spot out. When they got them all done, the reason they call it the Fuller's Field, they'd have a place out there on the rock and they'd take that old piece of cloth. They'd pop it out there and lay it on the rock. Amen. They'd lay it on the rock and let the sun dry it up. Amen. Make it fit to be used. The whole field, can you imagine? You'd ride down the road, here you're going on your horse down to Jerusalem. You'd look over there to the Fuller's Field, and the field would be white of those garments that were prepared to be taken to the market, to be sold, to be used. Amen. You know what God's doing? You said, I tell you one thing, God's rubbing me the wrong way. No, He's not. He's rubbing you the right way, trying to get the spot out of you so He can take you to Fuller's Field, lay you upon the rock, and show you off to everybody. Amen. Hey, the Bible talks about the washing of the Word. Amen. You just take that old water and you rub that water and you rub that old soap in and you work that soap in and God just keeps working on us till He gets that spot out of our life. And then He dries us all out on the rock. Amen. Woo! Boy, I'm glad that I've got a God that cares enough to put me in the fire to make me an object of use. But I'm glad He also is that Fuller. It works on me and rubs me the right way to then get all the nasty out of my life. Get all the spots. Get all the blemishes out. I want to say this tonight. He's still working on me. Don't get mad at God. He's not rubbing you the wrong way. He's rubbing you the right way. You thank God. You say, preacher, I don't like that word. I don't like that word. It's too strong. It gets in my eyes just like old lye soap does. Well, it's hard, man. It'll burn the skin off of you. It'll burn the flesh off of you. Yeah. It'll burn the flesh off of you. Get those spots out of you where you can be used of the Lord. Amen. God will take you out. You say, well, what good is that? God will look over His field from heaven at the Fuller's Field and say, look at there, Dad. I don't mean that disrespectful. Look at that, Father. They're all white, fit for service, laying on the rock. Hey, man! Boy, I'm glad that God is still working on me. How about you? There's the process, and then there's a purpose. The process is to separate us from the element. The process is to sanctify the garment. But the purpose is for betterment. You ready? Look at verse number 3. And He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And He shall purify the sons of Levi. So there He is. He's working on that silver. He's going to sit there. He's not going to run by. He's going to sit there. And He's going to keep heating it up and pouring it off. Heating it up and pouring it off. Hey, if you want to get good metal, we work at work. You have to put little dams up there. And what you do is you let the good stuff pour over. The bad stuff, you let it stay behind. Amen. You get your cup filled up. Let the overflow take you where you're supposed to go. Amen. Man, I'd really like to preach on that a little bit. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about. Just let it all dross fall back and let the overflow keep making us better. They run that metal through dams and dams and dams. And what it does, fills over and that good stuff just keeps on going over. Keeps on going. That's what God's doing. That's what God's doing. He's purifying us. The Bible says, and purge them as gold and silver. Wants us purged of all those impurities like we talked about. that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. What's he doing? He's taking those Levites and making them again a priesthood. He said, I'm going to purify them. I'm going to come and purify them, and I'm going to purge them that I might make them a priesthood. Now look at verse number 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Hey, you know what he came back for? He came back to find a peculiar people, to cleanse them, that they might be priests. The Bible says he makes us kings and priests unto him, that we might offer a sacrifice just like the old days. Some people say, boy, I'd like to be in the tabernacle when the glory fell. Guess what? God's working on us. He's trying to get us back to where it was. So we can go in and offer sacrifice. And God said, boy, I'll take that. I'll accept that. You can come on in here. Hey, won't you come on here to the Holy of Holies? That's what he said in Hebrews, that we may boldly become before the throne of grace, find help. Amen. God's just working on us and cleanses us so we can come before the throne, offer our sacrifice of the calves of our lips. We don't have to take them old calves they used to lay on the fire and cut up. We take the calves of our lips, and all we say is, glory! And listen, if he's worked on us, if he's rubbed on us, amen, if he's rubbed on us and he's refined us, he likes that. He likes pure people. He likes people to be holy unto him. Hey, he's just working on us to make us useful. He's just working on us so he can use us. He's just working on us so we won't be plastic. So everybody know what he's got is real. The best of the best. Of the best of the best. Hey, isn't it amazing that God take old mucky piece of mire clay and turn it into something he can use? Somebody needs to fling the back doors open. Amen. Take somebody like me and use me. I'm still amazed. How about you? Who will not withstand his coming? Look at verse 5. I will come near to you to judgment. The Bible says there in 1 Peter 4:18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? The Bible says, I will come near to you. Boy, he's going to come near to you. Boy, he's almost going to take care of. But he said, I'm coming near to you for judgment. But he didn't say, I come to you for judgment. The Bible says we're not appointed to wrath. Let's just be honest with it. We deserved hell. We still deserve hell. But I don't have to go there. I'm not appointed to wrath. Amen. He'll come near, but he's not going to come to me. Amen. Look at with me. He says, I will be swift. I believe that. When he comes back the second time, I believe he'll be swift. Amen. I believe the rapture's going to be like that. I believe the second coming, when he rides on them horses, we lined up behind him. Amen. Y'all remember that, don't you? Y'all remember them bells on them horses, don't you? Amen. Amen. Going to come back riding on them white horses one of these days. We ain't coming back to fight. Y'all do know that, don't you? Ain't nothing says when we ride them horses, we got our sword drawn. It says he does. We just in the parade. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to heaven in a parade and come home in a parade. Y'all remember what I was talking about, don't you, about those angels? We're going home as a parade, coming back as a parade. Amen. Whew. I said son to myself right then. I said son. The Bible says, here's what he says. He said, it come closeness, swiftness, and he witness. I'll be swift, witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and that turn against the stranger from his right, turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, said the Lord of hosts. He said, that's who I'm going to be against. When I come back, that's who I'm going to be against. Those that really wrapped up that last little bit, and fear me not, and fear not me, and fear not me. Amen. Those that fear not me, he's coming. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Beginning of wisdom. Those who have the wisdom, the fear of the Lord, see, so he's coming back to witness against them. Now watch this, verse number 6. Who? I said, I told you who was coming. I showed you why he was coming. Why he came, amen, and why he's coming again. I showed you who will not withstand his coming, amen. And now I'll show you who are wanting to see him come. You ready for this? Watch this. Verse 6 says, for I am the Lord. Stop there. Those who has accepted his favor are looking for him to come. For I am the Lord. Those that know him and accepted his favor, his grace. If you've been saved, you accept his grace, his favor. You know he's the Lord. Don't have no problem. Some people say, I don't believe he's the Lordship salvation. For I am the Lord. I have no problem with that. You're the Lord. And I accept your favor. Amen. Watch this. I change not. He's coming, number one, for those who accept his favor. Number two, for those who are assured of his faithfulness. In other words, what he said he'd do, he'd do. Those who may stand there going, I knew he was coming. I knew it. That's country. I knew it. He said, preacher, you sure to work on your grammar. I get over yonder, he'll work on it, I guess. Right now, I know he's coming. He said he was coming. He said, I change not. This same Jesus, which you see ascend in heaven, shall come in like manner as you see him go away. This same Jesus. Amen. Now watch this, and I'm done. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. And some of y'all say, well, see there, that's talking about Israel. That's not talking about us, preacher. And you're right. Halfway. I believe he's coming to those that are back who are adopted into the family. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bear with us with our spirits that we are the children of God. That's pretty good. The Bible says over in 1 John 2:28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we shall have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I believe it's in the book of John. He says, now are we the sons of God. And doth not, we don't know what it will be, but we know when we see him, we shall be like he is. Amen. Ephesians 6:13 says this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Church, I just believe, I'll be honest with you, if we just take on the whole armor, amen, that shield of faith and that breastplate of righteousness, those feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and that helmet of salvation, that knowledge that you're saved, sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And you know what he says, who's going to stand? And having done all, having withstood, having done all, to stand. The Bible says this. The Bible says this in verse number 2. And who shall stand when he appeareth? You know who's going to stand? Those who have accepted his favor. Those who have accepted his faithfulness. And those who have been adopted in his family. Hey, they're not all Jews that were born in the flesh. Not all of Israel is going to make it to heaven. I'm glad us old Gentile dogs been grafted in. One of these days, he's going to sing with a shout, the voice of the archangel. I was listening to Brother Sam the other night, and he said, I believe that's going to be Michael. I never thought about it. I thought, that's pretty good. Sounds good to me. He said, I believe it's so, because Michael's the only one that's named in the Bible as far as an archangel. As far as named as an archangel. I thought, that's pretty good. And then I've had a preacher friend of mine, Brother Tony, over at New Testament. We finished service that night. I actually got up out of the altar. He said, come here for a minute. Brother Samuel, they're just closing out. Giving. He said, come here, I'll show you something. And he flipped me over the book of Daniel. And the Bible says, said he'll come with Michael, the archangel. I said, Brother Samuel, this dude dead on, ain't he? And he didn't even say it. He didn't even quote the verse. He said, I just believe it is. He said, look at there, look at there. And right there it was, plain as day. Old Michael's going to be the one where he shouts with. Amen. I've loved the Lord tonight. How about you? Amen. Who shall stand? Those that are looking for him. We'll stand and we'll take off. And by the way, I learned something the other night from Brother Sammy. We shall not meet them in air. I'm not talking about the dead in Christ. A lot of times we'll say, well, if Brother Freeman's here at church and Miss Freeman's homesick, that if the rapture comes, we'll meet them in air. No, no. The Bible says we shall be called up with them. In other words, y'all, you'll be like, poof, and you'll be there. Amen. Ain't going to be no delayed. And Miss Freeman says she ain't going to be married no more. That'd be all right. I got news for you. You ain't going to be married either. You ain't going to be behind us. Amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord good tonight? Hey, just because just because God's putting you through something, understand this. He's only doing it to make you better. He's only doing it so he can use you to make you for something. A lot of these messages I've been preaching, boy, they're tough. They're down the road. They're right down the spout. I mean, they ain't no, you know. But you know what? God's just trying to say, hey, get your marriages right. Get your giving right. Get your going right. Get your love right. Get the preacher right. Get right. You know why he's getting right? Get ready. Get ready. Let's bow our heads tonight. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for your kindness to us tonight. And thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I want the pianist to come play something softly. I wasn't going to have an altar call, but I feel like I need to. Maybe you're here tonight and you just need to, maybe you just need to come to the altar. Lay something down. Maybe you're burdened. Maybe you're trialed. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe three messages back, something's dealing with. God's dealing with you something. I don't know. Maybe God's dealing with you about something this morning. I don't know. I started not giving altar call, and God said, no, you need to give altar call. Let's all stand. I don't know what the need is, but listen, I know this. God is a refiner and a fooler. Always trying to do. Hey, think about that. All he's trying to do is making you finer and fuller. Same way. Make you finer and fuller. Hey, maybe you just need to come out and say, Lord, just keep on working. Just keep on working. Just keep on working on me. Lord, you know I need it. Just keep on working me. Lord, I'm not mad. I want to thank you for. I'm glad that you're still working on me. I'm glad you're just trying to make me a little finer, make me a little fuller. I'm glad you're trying to use me that way. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Lord, I'm not hardened to the fact. I want to thank you for using me. I want you to thank you for, Lord, doing what you're doing. Lord, I'm not bitter with you. I just want to thank you for making me better. Hey, I want to ask you this tonight. God worked on you anything, made you any better than you was last year, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? Are you better tonight than you were then? Has God done anything you say? You know what? I can say for sure it's 5-10 years ago. God's done something in my life that maybe I've had some trials, but God has done something in my life to make me better than what. And I never would have thought that was what it took, but that's exactly what it took right there. That's just because God didn't want to throw you away. God didn't want to set you aside. God didn't want to put you up on a shelf somewhere and just have a little bit of a dullness to you. But God wanted a high shine on you. Brother Bill, you know what metal does when you shine it real good? It becomes like a mirror. And it reflects everything that it sees back to everybody else. If you take that piece of metal, you can shine that thing up so shiny. And you just lean back. Well, the good thing about a piece of metal, though, you can shine that metal up and drop it on the ground. It don't break, but a mirror busts all pieces. God just takes that metal and shines it and buffs it, shines it, buffs it, and then he shines on it for the whole world to see. The whole world sees us. The whole world sees us. I said when Brother Biddle was here the other Sunday, he started learning that scripture at the age of 50 years old. Most of us look and say, man, I tell you one thing, I bet it took all his life. No, it didn't. He started when he was 50 years old to memorize scripture. You know why he did that? Because he's going through a time of depression in his life. And he said, I believe if I just learned the word of God, that God helped me out of this depression. You know what God started doing? Buffing Brother Biddle. Now at 86 years old, when your light shines on him, it just reflects off. We all go, man, I need to read some more Bible. I need to learn how to quote that Bible. I want to have a hunger for souls. I want to do. You know what I did? God just took him and shined him for 36 years. Held him up to the light. So you know what? When I look at him, I see myself in him. That's what we want folks to see, Brother Ty. We want to see God. We want folks to see God in us. See God in us. Just take your time. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Miss Freeman told me, she said, boy, I tell you one thing, when you get down to that refiner's fire and that fuller soap, I think I'm going to stay out that night as rough as you've been preaching. Isn't that something, Miss Freeman, how God take that something like that and make it sweet? He just made that a sweet day. I got home. I thought it was going to be rough too. And I got home, got looking at it. I said, God's not wanting to be rough. God's purpose in working on us is not to be rough. It's to make us sweet. Man, you don't have to preach everything rough. It's amazing. God will take the roughest thing and make them sweet. Take the sweetest things and make them rough, isn't it? Amen. All right. Appreciate y'all being here tonight. How many want to stick around and see our webpage? Anybody want to see it? Amen. All right. All right. All right. Y'all forgive the colors, but I knew something happened because everybody started going. Amen. You can always tell eyes. Amen. Oh. Mr. Taylor, why don't you come up on the other side here? You probably might have to help the preacher a little bit. I don't know. I shouldn't say Mr. Tad, Brother Tad. Amen. Tell you what, just climb up there and have a cigarette there. It's all right. I know what went out now. I forgot to cut the power on. The battery went down. Yeah, there you go. Just take it all the way off the floor if you want to. I'm going to take my call. Brother Tad come to me back before he joined last Sunday and said, you know, I ain't real good with hammering nails, but you can kind of say my hammer's webpage. And I've had people say that to me before, but I'm pretty good on webpages, and that's like, okay, and I've seen, and it, you know, everybody good on webpages until you actually had to do it. And it takes more than a lot of people understand. And what was amazing thing about it is everything I wanted to do on the webpage is everything he knew how to do. And so it's just amazing how God worked this out. You say, well, why are we even interested in the web page? I may have to start all over here. I don't know. I'll just cut off and start over. I think I will anyway. As what it allows us to do is we can reach all over the world. And literally, I mean, right now in Germany, if they'd bring it up, I don't know why I'm going. Probably not going to go up now that I want it to go up real quick. Yep. There we go. Okay. Close y'all's eyes. Y'all don't see my password. I'm picking. You can't see it anyway. Didn't none of y'all close your eyes, did you? Okay. Watch it. I get it out there. Y'all forgive me. This shouldn't happen, but it did. No, it won't do that.
No?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's blue.
Blue is good.
I don't know why we lost the connection, but we did. It should come out. Cut it off. We'll try it again here in a minute. I'll talk to you about it here in a minute. Let it boot back up. Let that cool off a minute and then push that orange button when it gives us a second. The reason we're doing this is because what we're going to be able to do is reach anywhere in the world with it. If you're, if you have a computer, some of you might say, I don't have a computer, and if you don't, that's fine. If you don't want to have nothing to do with a computer, that's fine. Don't hurt my feelings.